God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, he spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. What is the top news story to God is something we often ask on this program. And it's dangerous to think like God. We can consult his word. We can spend time with his people. And that way we can get to know him. And I continue to contend that the top news story in God's mind is that the free redemption through Jesus Christ is still available to everybody. I think it will remain the top story until that decision is no longer available around Judgment Day. So if you've not made that decision for Jesus, you've made it. Right now, you're choosing to spend time for eternity apart from God, apart from all good things. It may not be the top news story. It should be the top news story. In this presidential election, we have two sides, obviously. Some of them are the same players in Washington, D.C. Republicans love Democrats. Democrats love Republicans. They need each other to exist. Every good hero needs an enemy, and every enemy needs a good hero. There are people who are trying to change things. There is something that needs to be changed, and that is the takeover by technical bureaucrats of our country. There were technical bureaucrats in the age of Jesus. They were the ones who wanted him dead because he was doing annoying things like raising people from the dead. That's annoying. When you want to be one of the top, the top religious authority, and you've got this guy going around and healing the blind and healing lepers and raising people from the dead and walking on water and producing food for 5,000 people off of a few fish and loaves of bread, that's annoying to religious technocrats. They can't have that. They can't have some Messiah walking around. Likewise, the people who run our government can't have us going around making choices about food. There was an attempt in Congress to simply say that we're not going to allow enemies of this country, avowed enemies of this country, like the Chinese Communist Party, Iran, and Russia, to purchase our farmland. Democrats said, yeah, we want them to purchase our farmland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to Mr. Newhouse for introducing this important and long overdue piece of legislation. According to the USDA, as of 2022, foreign individuals held an interest in over 43 million acres of U.S. ag land. For context, 43 million acres is larger than the state of Florida and greater than the total land area of 29 U.S. states. Between December of 21 and December of 22, privately held foreign ag land increased by more than 3 million acres and now accounts for 3.4% of all privately held agricultural lands in the U.S. This is a real problem, and it's growing. Our nation's land is linked to our national security, our food supply, and energy resources. The rising trend of foreign ownership is highly concerning. The USDA is responsible for collecting data and reporting to Congress on foreign-owned ag land, but that's it. In its own words, the USDA does not have a role in reviewing the purchase or sale of ag land in our country. Additionally, the USDA has failed to penalize improper filing of ag land transactions by foreign nationals.
That's Representative Mike Flood from Nebraska, of course, a very farm-centric state. Democrats voted against that resolution because it stands against the people who want to run the government and are medical bureaucrats, medical technocrats, or sci-tech technocrats. Big Farm is part of this. They want food to be like medicine. And there is a saying, if food is not your medicine, medicine will be your food. But they want to pervert the food supply to the point that you have nowhere to turn but to fake meats, processed foods, licensed foods, patented foods. That path is clear. See, the same people who say we don't have the authority to go out and review whether these, like Russia, China, enemies to this country should own our farmland, the USDA. Well, they feel that they've got the power to go shut down a farm because someone sells raw milk. Or an Amish farmer won't let just play by their rules. He's not made anyone sick, but they'll shut that down. There's a guy named Francis Collins. You remember him? Francis Collins is a medical technocrat and a pretend evangelical Christian. I say pretend because he's also a big fan of abortion at any time. Those two things don't go together. Nor does forcing a nation to get injected with a modified RNA injection, which isn't going to solve anything, which harmed a lot of people, it's probably killed about 17 million people, and it was made using abortifacients. Francis Collins has written a book, and he's asked a question. Why didn't facing a common enemy bring us together? I ran the National Institute of Health during the pandemic. I learned that something deep within our culture is wrong. He wrote this to promote his book, which is called The Road to Wisdom, on truth, science, faith, and trust. On truth? This from a guy who ran the National Institute of Health? Truth? Science? This is the National Institute of Health that said the injections were 99% safe and effective. That was a lie. It wasn't a mistake. It was a lie. Masks protect you. That was also a lie. Science. His underling, who really ran the place, Tony Fauci, was once asked if a mother asked him, my son had anaphylactic shock from the injections. What should we do? You know what Fauci said? Well, I would wait a couple of weeks until the effects died down and then have him get the second injection. Remember that phrase, first do no harm? Science? No. Faith. Well, I don't know enough about Francis Collins' walk with the Lord, other than the fact that he is not a believer in do not murder. Trust. Okay, let's talk about that. Francis Collins in his article wrote, can you remember the early months of COVID-19? We humans are wired somehow to suppress truly horrible memories. Unless I force myself to go back and look at notes or media reports from that year, I find it hard to remember just how awful it was. In many urban settings, hospital emergency rooms were overwhelmed with the sick and dying. ICUs were unable to handle the demand and the morgues were overflowing. No, they weren't. All those body bags that were purchased in advance sat there unused. Madison Square Garden, at the cost of millions and millions and millions more dollars, was converted to emergency overflow shelter, which was never used. Aircraft carriers were pulled off the coasts of New York and Los Angeles to handle the overflow from the overflow rooms. Those were never used. Citizen reporters went into hospitals that were supposedly overwhelmed to find them empty. Where people did flood into the emergency rooms, it was because you lied. You told them COVID was going to come and kill them. You lied. 99.84% survival rate. Back to Francis Collins's book on truth, science, faith, and trust. What scientific evidence did they have that the injections were going to kill 30 million Americans? None. Zero. Science? Back to his article. As director of the National Institute of Health, it was my job to marshal all possible resources to focus on rapid development of vaccines, drug treatments, and diagnostic tests. Vaccines generally require many years to develop. So much of 2020 was fraught with uncertainty about what exactly was going to happen in our world. We assembled the world's scientific experts, convinced partners in government, academia, and industry to drop their usual legalistic skepticism about one another's contributions, designed master protocols that would ensure that any trials or vaccines or therapeutics would be rigorous and definitive, and set up a shark tank to test bold ideas about how to make home testing for COVID-19 easy and accurate. It was the year of no sleep. Okay, science. They decided to make sure that the trials of the so-called vaccines and therapeutics would be rigorous and definitive. Liar. You're lying. Pfizer was allowed to destroy the control group in its trial. because it was showing that people who got their injections died more often than the people who didn't. Francis Collins is lying here. Legalistic skepticism. No. It is not legalistic skepticism that says it takes many, many years to develop a vaccine. It's the scientific process. You're making a prediction. Is this going to stop the spread of the disease? You have to monitor that for generations of the disease. He's lying. In a book entitled Road to Wisdom on Truth, Science, Faith, and Trust, the man is lying. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention's back to his article. Development of a COVID test ran into serious problems. Public health recommendations got off to a rocky start. Pause. No. Just like with the vaccines, the injections, they were already designed. They were already designed. They already knew what they wanted to use, mRNA. You already knew you wanted to use a PCR test, which cannot find a virus in a body, ever. It can't. It's not designed for that. It can find out that you had a cold 10 years ago and pretend that's COVID. That's what you developed. That's not scientific process. It's a scam. It's a swindle. It's a lie. Why would we have faith in you? Back to the article by Francis Collins. There wasn't much data to go on, and this was a genuine crisis. Public health agencies were doing the best they could with inadequate information. It wasn't a public health crisis. It wasn't. You made it one by shutting down hospitals for so-called processes that you found to be optional, you know, like having a gallstone removed or having a kidney stone removed or having your 12-step program to stay off alcohol. Those things were stopped. But there was no public health emergency. 99.84% survival rate. One strong recommendation in the spring of 2020 was to flatten the curve, to delay the number of new infections so that overwhelmed hospitals would not go completely under. Temporary school and university closures were put in place to reduce transmission. Pause. School kids do not transmit the virus. Period. It's a well-known fact. They're one of the reservoirs where the viruses go to die. And he goes on to pretend that this something to do with young kids and young adults stopped the virus. It's ridiculousness. He goes on, down in later in the article, Francis Collins, this is his new book about faith, science, trust, honesty, etc. Listen to this. Public trust in government began to fray. Mixed messages from the White House, including truly outrageous comments from the commander-in-chief about injecting bleach to treat COVID-19, did not help. President Trump did not say to inject bleach. He's lying. He's lying. He spoke about some therapies that really were promising, like UV blood therapy, which was in fact promising. Francis Collins has written the book called The Road to Wisdom on Truth, Science, Faith, and Trust, and he's lied throughout it. Here's some of the aftermath of all this. The Florida Surgeon General has advised against the use of the new modified RNA injections for anyone but people who are 65 with huge underlying risks who might die. Cancers, as of August 31, excess real dollar treatment expenditures for cancer equals 20.6% up. Excess mortality, 7.46%. Excess ages 0 through 54 mortality, up 29%. Cancers, real dollared trends, tracking the dollars in cancer treatment, a 20.6% increase in that. How would we get cancer from these injections? Because the injections are known to create the dynamics in the body that cause cancer by confusing the immune system, particularly the IgG4 receptors. People often ask me when I do segments like this, are you a doctor? No. No, but I can aggregate information. I can read it and aggregate it and I can observe it. Or I can say it really simply. Francis Collins pretended to America that if you wear a mask while walking into a restaurant and then take it off when you sit down, you're safe. Because the virus simply cannot touch you while you eat spaghetti. But you better put that mask on when you walk back to the bathroom. Our scientific method has been stolen by liars who mean us ill. My friend Greg Glassman, the founder of CrossFit, took on big science and big sugar, and he won. You hear about that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. If you look around at what has happened to the bodies of Americans, something has gone terribly wrong. Obesity is killing a lot of people, and now it's working its way down into kids, has been for decades. Drugs like Ozempic are being pushed by pharma to be given to little kids so that they can continue to eat whatever they want but not get fat. It is an abuse of the scientific process, just as we talked about in the last segment with fake evangelical Christian Francis Collins' new book, where he refuses to recognize the lies he participated in at the National Institute of Health around the COVID, the flu, and the response. My friend Greg Glassman is the founder and former CEO of CrossFit. When he created CrossFit, he said he made some predictions. He would produce human beings that could squat 500 pounds and then run a sub-5-minute mile. He's done that. He was told that couldn't happen. He also predicted he would turn around type 2 diabetes, a metabolic disorder in people. CrossFit does that because it's not just exercise. It's meals, eating plans, hydration, etc. Greg ran into a DC buzzsaw, Big Sugar. They tried to destroy CrossFit using falsified data. So bad that judges, once they discovered it, considered it some of the worst research fraud they've ever seen. I wanted you to hear from Greg Glassman, who doesn't yet know the Lord. I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for him. He's surrounded by a lot of people who love Jesus, and he likes us for some reason. I wanted you to hear about his battle against Big Sugar and his ongoing effort now to address broken science with his Broken Science Initiative, which is all about correcting the scientific process. This is part of my conversation with Greg Glassman. You can see most of it at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. You got attacked using bad science. Big Sugar came at you. This is when I probably the first time people started calling you about me is I did an hour on this on Rush Limbaugh's show, God Rest the Maha, about you getting attacked by Big Sugar, and you beat them. You destroyed them in court, and they had effectively faked up research to show that CrossFit injured people more commonly than global gyms. And the way that, I mean, the way you found this out was emails and forensic discovery when I think the principals were saying, we don't have these emails. And then it went before the judge. And the judge basically ordered a different firm to come in and do forensic accounting of the emails. And can you talk a little bit about how they faked up that science? Because this can bridge us into the Broken Science Institute.
Yeah, the National Strength and Conditioning Association published a study that showed CrossFit was remarkably effective, but it had an unacceptable cost due to injury. And on cursory examination of the figures, what I saw was, I think it was a 16% injury rate, and there was no other dropouts from the program. And I well that if you expose people to CrossFit, you'll lose 25% that are just going to go home aware of what it's going to cost to be fit and don't want to participate anymore.
Yeah.
So there should be a quarter that just disappear because, it's not for me kind of thing. But they had 16% injured and no walk away. And so I said, we need to look more closely. And it didn't take long until we found that that this just wasn't true, that it hadn't happened that way. And we then immediately just started going down the core, the committee on COPE, Committee of Publishing, Research Publishing Ethics, whatever it is, that we went by this international agency standards for what the responses should be to studies that you know to be fabricated or falsified or plagiarized.
Yeah.
And we called their attention to it, and they just let us know in no uncertain terms that they were going to do nothing about it. And so we did something that had never been done before. I retained, had kept under constant retainer a smile because my relationship with Latham Watkins is long, profound, close, and something I'm proud of.
Yeah.
But Latham Watkins brought a team of Manhattan white shoe attorneys to Ohio and set up a camp in this little town and deposed every single person involved in this study. Every single person. This was millions of dollars. I mean, these guys are making $450 an hour, and you got a team of them, and they're living there, right?
Yeah.
And they deposed everyone involved, and so we had the reality, and we asked for some emails. They said they didn't exist. We had some of them. We showed the judge. She got pissed off, and ordered a forensic evaluation of their servers, cell phones, iPads, and they started destroying equipment, iPads, cell phones. We don't have them, computers, but it didn't work. We still got our hands on an amazing tranche of material. The National Strength and Conditioning Association had more emails on CrossFit than CrossFit had on its servers about CrossFit.
Wow.
They knew more about us than we knew about ourselves. And they told the judge they didn't see us as a competitor, but the guy that testified to that effect had, we'd seen an email that was his competitive analysis of CrossFit. He came to the cert, he said, on his own dime, but we had an email where he was asking to be reimbursed for his going on this trip. And so then the federal judge just started referring to him as the perjurer in the case.
Yeah.
But she said this was the most egregious behavior that she'd seen in 35 years on the bench, and this is someone that sent people to jail forever. Now, mind you, this was also going on in a state court, because early in the process, I referred to the NSCA and the American College of Sports Medicine as soda. So they sued me for that. Dan Russ Green and CrossFit, me by name, Russ Green by name, and maybe Russ Berger was in there too. So we all got picked up in this suit in state court for calling him soda. My attorney's line was, calling someone a doesn't have any meaning. And I, during this deposition, interjected, oh, I have meaning. I'll tell you exactly what I mean by it. And big eye roll, and here it came. And it's taking cash for unethical, immoral, hidden, secret activities, what it is, you know? That's why I'm calling you soda. But they said they didn't have any interaction with soda. We showed some interaction with soda, and the state judge demanded a forensic review of their servers. Again, the same. We got it from the state court. And he also let us know that he was aware of the perjury in the federal case.
Wow.
And what had happened was that one of the guys that perjured himself in the federal case admitted in deposition in the state case to having lied before. And the federal judge and the state judge were both in San Diego. And the question as to whether they may have contacted one another became immediately apparent. That these guys were trying in state court what they were losing at in federal court.
Incredible.
And so we got inference sanctions that granted us all the particulars of the case, and that was the falsification and fabrication of data. And in fact, we got even the tiny elements that you disseminated this internationally, that this information crossed state lines, that it would be natural and right to presume that this would hurt. It did indeed hurt. I mean, every element that was needed that you'd have to. And so our Latham Watkins guys are going, I've never seen anything like this. We were handed every element, everything we'd want to prove. There's nothing left to adjudicate. There's nothing left to litigate other than penalty at this point. We were handed every single part of this.
Incredible.
Thing. And it took academic interest, caught academic interest for this reason. There's a hall of fame. In fact, this is part of what we collect at Broken Science, but there's a hall of fame of scientific misconduct stunts.
Yeah.
There's a taxonomy of it. You can go by nationality or by field Alzheimer's research or coming from Egypt or whatever you like. There's an enormous body of work in that space. But it typically, in every case, seemed to involve one or two miscreant scientists within an organization, specifically while at a university or in some kind of international body. But what we had with the NSCA was an entire organization committed to a scientific misconduct. Yeah. Procedurally, almost by statute.
Yeah.
Also with funds that couldn't be explained. They turned their pockets inside out, got nothing. Judge orders them to give us $4 million within 30 days, and they come up with it. I mean,
how did that happen?
Yeah, and it was funny because I'm going, where did they get the money? And I go, maybe we shouldn't take it because it could be illegally dishonestly gotten. And my attorney said, don't say that. Just take the money. We know where they got it.
Yeah.
We know they got it. They got it from their sugar daddies. Isn't that perfect? They got it from their sugar daddies.
That's a great way to put it.
They couldn't, those organizations couldn't keep their lights on without their soda support.
One of the things in CrossFit is no sugar. the RX diet, and I won't risk doing the definition in front of you. I know it. I live it. You've actually had me. You've seen me drink sugar water, and I apologize in front of you for that. But it's just Huckleberry lemonade.
Hey, buddy.
Right, right. So this happens. You are exposed then to, wow, academic skullduggery, lying, frauds, perjury. And then we get to this era. If you're watching this, by the way, on YouTube, we're entering into a portion of the discussion YouTube will not allow. So you can go to video.thetoddhermanshow.com, get a 7-day free trial. You can look at this. This is, we're going to enter into discussion that's banned on YouTube. Okay. The COVID era comes about. And a couple of things happened at that point. You put out a tweet, and it was related to George Floyd. And you said, oh, great. Now we get
indirectly.
Yeah. Now we get Floyd 19. I know what you were saying. Yeah. I looked at that and said, Greg is making a commentary on this is a very sad thing. This man had a sad life. This is sad that a man died. I know your heart, but you're also saying, okay, now we're going to take this case and pretend this is happening all around the world. It's going to be blown out, pretending that this is common everyday thing like they did with COVID. And that's what I saw from it. Maybe I misread that. I hadn't met you yet.
Let me give my quick perspective on this. Yeah. IHME was in this country. It was Imperial College in Europe, in London. But the IHME at University of Washington, Seattle, had led in the model production that forced this lockdown and the silly masks and everything yep. else we went through, promoted a vaccine that was far from ready.
Unless it was ready and to do what it did.
Their role in what went wrong was critical, and it came about through some science. And when their models failed and were failing publicly and obviously, rather than come back with I'm sorry, they doubled down and said they were now going to turn their models on the disease of police brutality. And it was at this point that I said, you mean this, what, like Floyd 19? And my follow-up tweet was an extended quote that I had pulled from the CDC on a study that I pulled from their servers, and it was a retrospective historical analysis of the impacts of quarantine. And what they said was that in all ages, in all cultures, and everywhere, all cultures, all ages, and everywhere, quarantine ends with race riots. And I quoted that, put the quotes around it, tested it myself, pulled the quote, threw it into Google, went, took me right to CDC property, cdc.gov, there I am. That tweet was called racist. And what we have, we got our race wars, by the way, our race riots.
We did. We got something else. The IHME was funded by Bill Gates. Bill Gates, at the time this was going on, was spending, and to some people, this is a lot of money, $400 million to go get positive media coverage so he could be the papa of the vaccines, the mRNA injections, which in my judgment are not vaccines. Then, Greg, we also had in England, you mentioned the organization over there. I believe his name is Neil Ferguson.
It is.
He was wrong on mad cow disease. He's been wrong monumentally.
On AIDS.
Always in the direction of catastrophizing things. And remember this. He and his adulterous girlfriend went traipsing about London after positive tests. So this comes up, and your scientific mind is looking at all this. And I'm hanging
with Peter Gauthier, who was one of the co-founders of the Cochrane Collaboration, who has publicly called out Bill Gates and his foundation and his HPV vaccine as being far from a good thing. And I'll keep you out of any kind of banned turf. But when I had Peter out to my house, I knew that he had challenged the authorities on mammograms for everyone, starting with little girls. Yeah,
right.
And been effective. He had called into effect the science behind all psychoactive medications.
Yep.
He had specifically pointed out that antidepressants in peds create suicide
yep.
in significant numbers. And so this is my buddy I'm hanging with. And I told him, dude, you're going to get whacked. You know?
Yeah.
And he did. He did. Yeah. They got rid of him. Yeah. And he was accused nefariously, nebulously, of improper contact and attitude and comments around women, but with no particulars ever to come about.
Incredible.
And we had guys like Jayanthi Anandi saying, I may not agree with him on everything. You don't agree with anyone on everything, so that doesn't need saying.
Right.
What he's saying is there's views he has that I would prefer not to be have pinned on me, and that would be most of them, honestly.
Yeah.
Like the question on mammograms, like the HPV vaccine, like the vaccine industry in
right.
general.
I mean, right.
On and on and on. But Iannotti said he's the most important medical researcher in all of Europe. Didn't matter. He got censored.
That was Greg Glassman, the founder and former CEO of CrossFit. He's now running the Broken Science Initiative, turning science around so that we do not get swindled by people like Francis Collins and Tony Fauci and others. And he doesn't yet know the Lord. I'd really appreciate it if you would pray that Greg would begin to see God's face. He's promised to read a book I gave him about intelligent design. Maybe that'll get him there. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling and an opportunity for you to be part of an early, early screening of an extraordinary film. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View.
AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There is a new movie coming out. It's called Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency. You all remember Brother Don. He's in heaven now, and the Wildman family continues on the legacy. You remember his book, I Had a Vision, God Had a Plan. It was a memoir, Don Wildman with Alan Wildman. Well, God had a plan for the very network to which you're hearing this show. In Culture Warrior, Don Wildman, The Battle for Decency, explores the founding of the American Family Association and many of the cultural and spiritual battles that have defined America's national life for over 50 years. From primetime television to secular humanism, pornography, and the homosexual agenda, Don Wildman sought to confront the forces of darkness and awaken the church to be her, called as they were, to be salt and light. This is coming out publicly November 11th. You can get early access to this. This is available to Great Commission partners. Go to stream.afa.net to become a Great Commission partner. You can see an early version of this October 28, 2024, before anyone else is going to see this. The founding of the National Federation for Decency, monitoring of primetime television, use of boycotts to pressure advertisers to get away from pornography, etc. Don Wildman, I think it's fair to say, was the original culture warrior. Go be part of this. Stream.afa.net. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling on a Disciples View. One thing I do want to just play for you is there's a Calvin College professor named Kristen Dumez who wants to talk about something that really seems to be very complicated, ensoulment. See, people who want to find a way for the Bible to be okay with abortion, they'll do anything they can to complicate the issue. This is Calvin Professor Kristen Dumez talking about ensoulment.
One of the key pieces there is a theological analysis of ensoulment. When does the soul enter the body? And how do we understand that? How do we reconcile this theological question or apply this theological question to what we now know in terms of modern science? I mean, what a fascinating theological question, and a question that I have not heard asked for at least a generation now, if not more, right? So the theology around this question has almost not been allowed. And I think that we have an impoverished theological discourse now around this absolutely critical question. And so I would love to be able to go and draw some of those resources from 50, 60 years ago, and put them on the table again. And how do we have these conversations around life and around, you know, how we approach this in a pluralist society and how Christians bring their religious views to the table?
Well, that would be fun in a community college philosophy class, say philosophy 101, to talk about ensoulment. Fun conversation. Let's make this very simple. Does the Bible spend any time on that? I don't think so. Or this. If you kill the body of a child before that child gets his soul, have you not done evil? Wasn't the body created for the soul? Wasn't that body to be a home to a specific soul? Aren't you putting yourself in God's position? Deciding that, well, we don't think there's a soul yet, so we'll kill the baby. It's the same argument. You didn't make it any better with what you just created. But again, it'd be fun from a community college philosophy perspective. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Usually three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. Believe it or not, today we have a fourth bonus sound bite. Kamala Harris... Here she is speaking. First, you'll hear her speaking to young people. And afterwards, you'll hear her speaking about young people.
Your generation, I mean, I love you guys. You are so smart. You are not patient. You are just ready to lead. And I'm counting on you guys. I really am. What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid. Is why we put them in dormitories and they have a resident assistant. They make really bad decisions.
Huh. Kamala Harris, as I've said multiple times, does not exist. Kamala Harris is whatever words are put in front of her. Her morals have all the constitution of water. They'll take on any container into which she's poured. A cross of Jesus Christ? Sure, pour me into that. I'll pretend to be informed by the Christian faith. The satanic flag? Okay, fine. If that'll help me win an election. And in this case, young people are smart? Okay, they're smart. They're stupid? Okay, they're stupid. She doesn't have the capacity to lead because she has nothing to lead from. She can only be pulled in to wanting more power. I've already made my decision. I hope you've made yours in terms of voting. Kamala Harris is in our second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. She was speaking, of course, during the debates, pretending that there were no U.S. combat troops in any combat zones around the world. Some people disagreed. The soundbite, so sound quality is not great in this, but I'll tell you why in a second.
There's not one member of the United States military who is in active duty in a combat zone in any war zone around the world. The first time this
century. Wait, what?
But let's understand.
So where the f*** are we right now?
Those were members of our military in Syria, a combat zone. They're also in Serbia, Montenegro, Albania, Kosovo, Turkey, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Lebanon, Jordan, Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, UAE, Oman, Yemen, Somalia. They're in the Adriatic Sea. The Ionian Sea, the Persian Gulf, the Gulf of Oman, the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden, the Arabic Sea, all of them classified as combat zones or danger zones. Of course, Kamala Harris lied because she does not exist. She is whatever is poured in. She'll be her morals or water pourable into any container. The people at The Daily Show, it's a funny, funny comedy show. So funny. It's just so funny. They contend that President Trump, who has seen his support triple among black voters, with Hispanics not far behind on that. They pretend that President Trump wants to say to all those black supporters and Hispanic supporters, don't vote for me.
So basically, the only people these Republicans want voting is white people. So if you want to vote, your skin better be as pure and as white as cocaine powder.
That's pretty funny. Oh, sorry, I fell asleep. It's not funny. It's John Leguizamo, by the way. The bonus clip for the day, Hillary Clinton, whose team created the Russian dossier that pretended that President Trump is a Russian plant, that Hillary Clinton, who worked with, according to media reports, disgraced law firm Perkins Coie to launder that, to pretend those were campaign donations and really it was this fake opposition research. She says something should be done to people like Hillary Clinton.
And boosting Trump back in 2016. But I also think there are Americans who are engaged in this kind of propaganda. And whether they should be civilly or even in some cases criminally charged is something that would be a better deterrent.
So they should be charged with disinformation, says the woman whose campaign started the big Russia lie about President Trump. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We usually wrap up the show with a personal observation from me, and we're going to do that. But I wanted to get first to an email. And this comes from Christopher. Christopher is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Dear Todd, as you might tell from my name, I'm a Christian man, a practicing Roman Catholic. I heard you the other day criticizing the Pope for truly outrageous remarks he made. Clearly, he was not speaking as the authority. He was speaking outside. When the Pope speaks this way, we Catholics do not have to treat this as doctrine. Ex cathedra, it's called. He was not speaking ex cathedra. Not as the Pope, but as a guy. He's a confused guy, and he's a bad Pope. I concur. You handled that with a lot of love and grace. I hope to handle my letter to you with equal hope, trust, and grace. I've listened to you now on A Disciple's View for about 6 months. You strike me as a godly man who really does value his walk with the Lord Jesus. My question for you then is this. How on earth do you defend your vote for a rapist and a felon and a cheat and a liar and a man who fomented an insurrection against our country? I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden either because of his stance on abortion and many other issues. I'm not going to vote. You shouldn't vote either. Christopher from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. P.S. I hope I didn't offend you. I really do enjoy the program. Christopher, I appreciate the note. Thank you for that. I appreciate you listening to AFR, and I hope you are going to become a monthly donor to AFR. You can do that at AFR.net. And if you do that at the right time, you can also get access to the Culture War movie coming up. How do I defend my decision to vote for President Trump? Well, I don't endorse candidates on this platform. We're not allowed to do that. We don't do that here, and I want you to make your own decisions. We're called to be in the world and not of it. We're also called to be so well-behaved that when our enemies seek to deride us, they have to make stuff up. Now, I am not that well-behaved. I try to be. I've gotten better as I've allowed the Lord to rule my life. I've gotten far, far better. But I think part of being a good citizen is to vote. Here's why. For every good citizen who doesn't vote, and Christopher, I have no doubt you are a good citizen. For every good citizen who doesn't vote, the votes of either ill-informed or bad citizens count more. There is a difficult choice for many people. I don't believe that there's any evidence to show that President Trump is a rapist. Far from it. The case in the department store is laughable. It's sad and it's laughable. In terms of being a felon, they took one expired misdemeanor, a paperwork error, or a paperwork lie, and that's just lying to themselves internally about what the money was spent on, and they magically turned it into 36 felonies. He's not a felon. He's been sentenced as a felon, convicted as a, not sentenced, but he's been convicted of, as a felon by a truly corrupt judge, fomenting an insurrection against the country. It's a weird way to foment an insurrection, to tell people to proceed peacefully and then to leave when his term was up. I totally understand, fully understand your decision to not vote for either man, and it's defensible. You ask me how I defend my vote for that man? Because there are two candidates who are going to win. One of them will win. I defend my vote, not just because of President Trump not being Joe Biden, but because I believe God has used President Trump to reveal some things. He revealed how much of our country is owned by Big Pharma. He revealed the great lengths to which these people are willing to go to destroy our children's bodies and souls, not just abortion, but with wrong sex hormones and surgery. He revealed, God did, through President Trump, the lengths that the people who actually run this country are willing to go to maintain power. And he's revealed how utterly corrupt our government is, just as God said it would be. I'm about to embark on an adventure. It begins tomorrow. In military speak, and I never served in the military, I want to be clear, I'm just learning this stuff from these guys. It's 1,000 hours, 10 a.m. Pacific. If all goes well, I will be exercising until Sunday at noon with a group of men who are far, far stronger than I am, most of them younger. We'll burn 1,000 calories an hour. I pray that you will pray that I will be a good teammate, that these men will see God's face through me. I pray that you will have God give me the strength that only He has. And at those moments where I'm tempted to quit, I pray I will remember the cross. If I can go do this for 50 hours, it's nothing compared to the cup of wrath that was poured out on the head of our Savior. I'll see you when I get back. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.